Thanks for listening to iTruths, the teaching ministry of Fellowship Bible Church of Texarkana, Texas. I'm Richard Hornock, the senior pastor of Fellowship Bible Church, and the following is a message that I delivered during one of our Sunday morning worship services. I trust it will be beneficial to your walk with Jesus Christ. Thanks again.
I've got two more sermons I want to do on money. We did three before Christmas. We did three before Easter, and then we're going to talk on about it today and next week. And next week, we're actually going to talk about giving. You say, why in the world would you tell people you're going to talk about giving? Well, I want you to get your weekend plans in order before, in time. Don't want to spring it on you. But anyway, that's a joke. But anyway, next week, we're going to talk about giving. And, you know, as you think about it, as I've thought about it, there's basically three reasons why people don't give. One of the reasons is because they're just uninformed. They really don't know what the Bible has to say about giving. And in reality, it's not just they don't know what the Bible says about our responsibility about giving. They don't understand the supernatural element of giving. You know, here's the problem. We're living in a day and age when these health and wealth preachers, you know, that have just so abused and so tarnished what God's word has to say. But there is so much truth in there that when I give to God, God supplies all my needs. God does take care of me. It's not that I give him 10 and he gives me back 100. I give him 100, he gives me back 1,000. Okay, that's malarkey. But there is an element. There hasn't been one person that went bankrupt because he gave too much to God. And yet I can think of dozens of people that I know that probably, maybe one of the reasons they're having so much financial issues is because they haven't learned to give to God. I mean, there is just something about it. When I give and I know when other people give, God makes the ends meet. And there is a supernatural element about it. So I think a lot of us are uninformed, not just about our responsibility, but about the privilege of just partnering with God and giving back to him some of this that he's given to us. There's another reason. A lot of people are just unwilling. And I'll tell you what, that's a heart issue. That's a heart issue. Sometimes our hearts are just so cold and like stones that it's like we buckle and it's like, I'm not doing that. This is my money. I worked hard for it, and I'm going to do it. And we've forgotten that God says, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. All the silver and the gold is mine, the prophet Micah said on behalf of God. It's all God's. We're stewards of it. And when we just are unwilling to share in giving, that's really a heart issue. And every believer hits that hard part in their life from time to time. And that's another reason. But, you know, here's the reason I'm bringing all this up. There's a lot of folks that can't give because at least they think they're unable to give because they just got too much debt. We've spent next year's paycheck and we owe it to somebody else. And if there is probably one thing that is a major, major issue today, and it's been this way for several decades, it is there is way too much debt. There's too much borrowing. And too many of us are so leveraged that in reality, we can't give to God. We can't provide for our families because we've spent so much of it pre-ahead. And the whole borrowing thing has just gotten way out of hand. Now, you know, it's interesting. A lot of people say, well, wait a minute. I thought the Bible was against borrowing and debt and all that stuff. Wrong, okay? I remember when we were getting ready to buy the building down there. And, you know, people are like, wait a minute, we only got about 25% of the money. We're going to borrow the other 75%? I mean, isn't the Bible against borrowing? No. Borrowing, lending, that is all part of God's plan. Now, it is to be regulated, it's to be moderated, and all that. But I mean, remember, Jesus told a couple different parables, you know, chastising people who had a talent and they didn't even lend it out and earn the interest on it. I mean, if it was okay for them to lend it, it must have been okay for someone to borrow it. I mean, borrowing and debt and all that stuff, it is part of God's scheme. But it is a very, very, it's something that needs to be entered into very maturely. And what I've found is a lot of believers just really and truly either ignore what God has to say, or they are unfamiliar with what God has to say, and they don't recognize that that is an area of our money that needs to be brought under the lordship of Jesus Christ and handled with great discipline. I remember years ago sitting with someone out in Wake Village. First time I'd ever run into someone like this. We were at their house for dinner. We had kids about the same age. And they had just gotten this new TV. Now, you know, today TVs are like 12 feet long. But this was like a new, brand new 25-inch TV. And Vicki and I still were watching the little 12-inch that we got, you know, as a hand-me-down from her parents. And this guy had this new 25-inch TV. And I'm like, that's incredible. And I knew the guy had a good salary, but I thought, you know, I didn't know he had that good a salary. And somehow he just kind of joked. He said, I'm still paying for the TV we got rid of. I'm like, what? And granted, this is 30 years ago. He's like, oh, yeah, we just put it on the card. And I'm like, the card? And he goes, yeah, we just charged it. And one thing led to another, and he was just real free with his facts. I mean, again, this is 30 years ago. The guy had an okay salary, but it wasn't astronomical. And they had close to $20,000 in credit card debt. I'd never heard of anyone that was in that situation. If I sat and translated the amounts, we're talking probably $50,000 or $60,000 in today's dollars. That was almost, you know, his annual salary at the time that he had borrowed. He said, I'm still paying for the TV we got rid of so that I could have this TV and all the other things. And I thought to myself, one of these days it's going to come back to bite him. I don't know whether it did, but I thought, my goodness, what would God say? And you know what? We find out when you just look at the national averages and the national statistics, there are tons and tons of people that really have struggled with debt. I mean, I don't know how many folks that I've talked to who will talk about how they've had a kid that have come through college. And, you know, one of the things that happens as you near the end of college is you get all of these credit card offers. And if the kid's not careful, he or she'll take out some of those credit cards. And within just a few years, they themselves might have thousands and thousands of dollars in credit card debt. You know, where did the money go? Well, it's hanging in their closet. It was stuff that they had digested, and, you know, it's all done now. It might have been a quick trip here or a quick trip there. And, you know, here they are. They got a $20,000 noose around their neck, and they're not even 25 years old yet. Maybe not even 23 years old. I mean, debt is one of those things that all of us have to be aware of and be very, very careful. And so what I want to do today, and I hope that for most of us, this is just kind of a good review and we've kind of got it in handle. But there might be some of us here today that really need to hear this. And I'm just gonna skim the surface. I'm just gonna touch a couple of items. And really and truly, I mean, there are some great biblical studies out there. The Dave Ramsey thing, the Crown thing. Just on this whole thing of borrowing and lending. Because if this is an area that is out of whack in your life, in your personal life, I mean, you got to get it under control. There's just no two ways about it. I mean, money is one of those things that just is so intrusive into every part of our life. And all of us know and all of us understand that we're supposed to control money. We're supposed to manage money. But money has a life of its own. And if we don't manage it, it's going to manage us. That's why when you look on the back of that little card that with the announcements on it, where the little outline of the sermon is, I'm calling it Money Manages. Your money will manage you. If you don't manage it, it will manage you. And there's probably no more intrusive way that money manages you than when you let debt, the whole lending and borrowing, get out of hand. And so what I want to do today is I want to just kind of walk through just a real quick survey of what the Bible has to say on debt. And what we're going to do is we're going to use, I got six things I want to address. We're going to use the little acronym CREDIT to address them. Here's the first one, and we're actually going to start at the bottom and work our way up, okay? And I put this one first because actually this is kind of the foundational one. It's the principle, okay? This is what you need to know about money, whether we're talking giving, borrowing, spending. You are a steward of the money you've got. It's not your money. If you haven't gotten that down, everything I say about money, everything the Bible says about money is not going to make sense. You have to recognize, I have to recognize, everything in my pocket, everything in your pocket, everything in my checkbook, everything in my stock folio, it's God's. Malachi said it well. The gold and the silver are mine, thus saith the Lord. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. You say, well, I thought I earned it. Well, yeah, you did. You did it with the breath that he gave you, the heart that he beating that he gave you, the brain that waves that he caused to happen. God did it all and enabled you to do it. And so in reality, he's the one that controlled the flow of it, and he's the one that put that into your hand. And you've got to recognize that you are a steward of God's money. It's not your money, it's God's money. And so when you get to approach any part of life, financial life, particularly the whole area of borrowing and lending, you've got to recognize you're not playing with your money. You're playing with God's money. And just to carry that a little bit deeper, when I borrow, or when you borrow, I'm borrowing someone else's money that someone else is responsible to God for. And now I'm responsible to God, but I'm also responsible to this other person. I've become a steward to that person. And one of the Bible verses that ought to haunt us is the one in Psalm 37, verse 21. You ought to write this down. We won't take the time to turn to it. But basically it says, the wicked borrow and don't pay back. Why is it so wicked to borrow but not pay back? It's because you've taken what somebody else had and is supposed to be a steward to God for. You've become a steward of it and you fumbled it away. And so for me to borrow, for you to borrow, and then not pay it back, the Bible calls it great wickedness. And that's just one passage, Psalm 37, verse 21. But the truth of the matter is it's taught all throughout Scripture. You could go to dozens of passages that talk about the very same thing. So here's the first thing you got to understand. As you're approaching this whole thing about credit cards, about bank loans, auto loans, mortgages, business loans, you are a steward. You are a steward. You are playing with, you are managing somebody else's money. God's money. Or the money that God has put into someone else's hands that now is putting it over into your hands. And so you're like this double steward. If you can get that down, the fact that it's not your money, you're just the money manager who will someday give an account to God or others for the wise use of that money, that right there will solve 90% of the problems. See, that's the problem with credit cards, is it just does not, it just doesn't feel like we're spending money, does it? Had to buy a lawnmower this last Monday. I didn't know I was going to be buying a wedding too. So I'm thinking about seeing if I can take the lawnmower back. But anyway, that's a joke too. But anyway, I was buying it from some guy. And, you know, it's a riding lawnmower, so it was a lot of money. And the guy said, you know, no offense, I know you're a preacher, so could you bring cash? You know, I don't know what that, I didn't know if there was a connection there between the preacher and the cash. But anyway, I said, oh, okay. And so I went over to the bank that afternoon and cashed my check, and I carried that cash out there. And we were in the parking lot of a gas station out there in Redwater. And I'd driven the lawnmower around, and I thought, oh, this is nice, and it runs. That's better than the one at home. And I thought, okay, I want it. And then I had to go to the car, and I pulled out that envelope with the cash in it, and I counted out all that money, and I thought, yuck. Maybe I could go back home and figure out how to get that thing to run. And I knew if I did that, Vicky would have killed me because, you know, I had already spent an hour trying to get it to mow half the lawn on just to start on Saturday before. But, you know, when I was using that cash, and some of them were $100 bills, I'm like, yikes, this is a lot of money. But you know what? If he'd have taken plastic, I wouldn't have thought of it. If I'd have written him a check, it's just zeros behind that number. It wouldn't have felt bad at all. As part of the problem is we've kind of gotten to where it's like we are oblivious to values. And so they're just numbers on a check or a piece of plastic that we give to them. It's not our money. It's God's money. Okay, let's get a little bit deeper into it. Here's the second one I want to emphasize to you. Throughout Scripture, every debt, every borrowing situation that you see, it is supposed to be insulated. In other words, it's supposed to be collateralized. In other words, this whole notion of borrowing and, you know, I'll pay it back, but there's nothing to secure it, that's not in there. I mean, even in Exodus 22... It says that if you lend something to someone, you can take the guy's coat. Now, obviously, we're not talking great deals of money back in that society and that the way that thing was working. But it was like, you know, hey, this guy wants to borrow from you. You can take his coat. But then there's this really interesting thing that says that if you're a righteous person, at the end of the day, you'll go let him have his coat back because the guy might get cold during the night. But then in the morning, you can go get his coat again and take it back and forth, okay? What's the whole thing? It's collateralized. I mean, the thing is if the person couldn't pay, they were actually supposed to sell even themselves or maybe sell one of their kids because the whole notion of not paying it back just wasn't even supposed to be part of God's system. God's people were supposed to pay their debts. And there was supposed to be something to back it up. Now here's what I take away from that, okay? We're not living in Old Testament Israel. We're not under the law. Leviticus is not our constitution. We're living in a completely different economic society. But some of those same principles translate over for us. When you borrow money, whether it's with plastic or whether you go to the bank and you're borrowing it that way, there should be in your head something that says, here's how I'm going to pay that back. And if worse comes to worse, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to sell this. I'm going to cash this in. I'm going to do this other thing because I've insulated it. I've collateralized it. I mean, if worse comes to worse, I'm going to sell that car and we'll do with one car or we'll do with no car, so that we can pay this thing back. Because the whole notion of borrowing and not paying back, Psalm 37:21, that's great wickedness. And God's people don't act that way or shouldn't act that way. See, we're God's people. We don't play by the same rules that everyone else plays by. We are God's people. If you're here today and you've trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you don't live your financial life, you don't live any part of your life the way the normal person does. You live your life God's way. And one of the great things about God's word is it tells us lots of details. When it comes to money, it tells us you pay your debts. You pay your loans back. And so you make sure you've got a plan to pay those things back. There's an insulation that is supposed to be there. And even if it is, hey, I'm going to give you my coat. I can't go selling kids. You know, that would have been pretty good. I would have been a rich man. But, you know, maybe you sell that stupid lawnmower you just bought and you do figure out how to get the other one to run. Maybe you sell that car. Maybe even downsize that house. Maybe you even have to get rid of the house and you move into some rental property. You pay your debts because they're supposed to be insulated. They're supposed to be secured. That person who lends to me, whether he was wise enough to get collateral or not, I, as a child of God, am supposed to have in my head a plan of here's how I am going to get that thing paid back. And I will pay it back according to the terms that God that has been laid out there. You know, here's another principle. You know, throughout Scripture, borrowing is not seen as a great option. It's kind of a it's one of those things you do if you have to. You know, and again, their society was a little bit different than ours. Their economy was a bit different than ours, but it was never a first option to just go borrow. And so I think that it would be valid to say in Scripture, the general advice is don't borrow. Now, obviously, we know that, you know, if I didn't borrow, I probably would never have a car. I'd never have a house that I'd own. I'd never have a couple other things in my life. But I just find it fascinating that the whole tone of Scripture when it comes to borrowing, is it should be like a last resort. There's freedom. And again, we're not living in Leviticus. Leviticus isn't our constitution, but it was the constitution that God set up for Old Testament Israel. And it was like, man, if you've had to borrow, that's kind of a last resort thing. I had to do it. I had to do it. Now, we're living in a New Testament era. We're living under grace. The law has passed. And so, you know, when it comes to things like cars or houses or big items that you know, you probably would never be able to acquire without, I think there is that freedom. But the idea of doing so needs to be entered into with a lot of thought. Prayer, trepidation, you know, is there any way I could do this? Is this really and truly what God wants me to do? How God wants me to acquire? And that is totally different than the way our society has gone, isn't it? Because the way our society has gone is it's almost like borrowing is the first option. The whole notion of saving and piling up so that I could pay cash for it, you know, even if it takes me 18 months or 24 months or even 36 months, that's just not there. I mean, we are living in a time when immediate results are supposed to happen. And that's not the tenor of Scripture. The tenor of Scripture is don't do it. Why is that? Here's another Bible verse for you. Proverbs 22:7. The borrower is slave to the lender. When you borrow, in a way, you put yourself into a slavery to that person, whether it's Citibank or Visa or MasterCard or Red River Credit Union or Bancorp South. You have obligated yourself to them. Proverbs 22:7. And so it's not a preferred position. It is one of those things that we enter into almost as a last resort, because we've kind of exhausted the other options. Now, with that said, I think there's enough freedom there that sometimes, you know, it is advantageous. Our economy is such that maybe borrowing is a good thing. I mean, good grief, that they're going to let you finance it for 5 years without any interest and all that stuff. That's a great deal. That's being a good steward. But we all need to recognize that puts us into that vulnerable situation. Because a lot of times you miss one payment and all that interest comes back to haunt you. I don't know how many times we've been tagged when we're at some clothing store. And, you know, if you put it on this credit card or if you open up this credit card, you get an immediate 10 or 15% discount. You just got to remember to pay the thing 6 weeks from now when that credit card comes. And then you can't, you know, that thing. And I don't know how many times we've done all that. Only because we're not expecting that credit card. We get it in the mail and it's like, oh my goodness, this thing was due 2 weeks ago. And now there's this penalty. Now we're this. And all of a sudden the savings was lost. So, yeah, you can do that. But you got to recognize you've just all of a sudden started walking on some pretty thin ice. And if you're not careful, I mean, it's just a matter of time before you're going to fall through and get stuck on that. But here's the thing. We're living in a day and age when, because of the way our economy works, because of the way the financial world works, it's almost like the very first option is to borrow. Of course you'd borrow money. I mean, when I was talking about this lawnmower, one of the people I was talking to was trying to sell me a new one. I mean, why in the world wouldn't you do this? 4 years, zero interest, whatever. And I'm like, yeah, but it's twice as much money as this one that is 18 months old. You know, and yet, what was the encouragement? The encouragement was to spend more so that I could supposedly save more. But in reality, it put me into a position that would have been far more vulnerable. Now, maybe I had the discipline to done that. But I just know that where I am right now, I may have the discipline. I just don't have the brain power to keep all those balls juggling. And I just knew that 6 months from now, I would forget, oh yeah, I had to do this and blah, blah, blah. And it just wasn't a risk that I wanted to take. Scripture does not sit and say, borrow first and then sit and think about something else. Scripture says, as a last resort, we should enter into that borrowing. You know, it's so easy when you go to the store. It's so easy when you go to a restaurant to just whip out the plastic. And we all do it from time to time. And it's so easy to sit and say, I can do this and I can do that. But there better be a plan to get that paid off. And I don't know how many times that I've pulled out the credit card and I thought, no. And I've stuck it back in my wallet and I pull out the debit card. You know, you understand the difference because the debit card, that money comes out of my account right now. Because I thought, yeah, I could get miles, I could get airline miles, I could do this and this and this. But at the same time, I'm putting myself into a position where if in 30 days I can't pay that thing off in full, I'm really hurting. And that, by the way, is one of those commitments that Vicki and I made probably 30 years ago. And by God's grace, we have paid our credit card off in full every month. Because I remember those first couple years, we didn't do it. And I mean, we were only talking carrying a balance of a couple $100s. But I was like, oh my goodness, that couple $100 now all of a sudden turned into $225. And if we didn't do it next month, it was going to turn into $260. And even I was smart enough to recognize this is a sinkhole that I don't want to get into. And so one of the smartest things we've ever done, and not because we're smart people, well, she's smart, but you know me, it is because by God's grace, we recognized if we, you don't put anything on that credit card that you almost couldn't pay for cash right at that moment. You're just doing it as a convenience. But even when you're doing it as a convenience, you're putting yourself out on some thinner ice. And if something happens, you all of a sudden have really made yourself into a poorer steward. Here's another thing that you get from Scripture. You know what? You're supposed to end them quickly. You should be familiar with this, but the Old Testament was set up on the whole sabbatical year cycle. In other words, every 7 years, debts were to be forgiven. Every 50 years, every seven years, all property was supposed to go back to the original families. But every 7 years, debts were to be forgiven. And lenders and borrowers were supposed to factor in, okay, we're in the fifth year. That means that in 2 years, I'm supposed to forgive this debt. And I may not want to make that because I'm that loan, because I know this guy maybe can't pay that off in those 2 years. And so I don't have to lend that to him. That was all part of the notion. Now, one of the things I get from that is that this whole notion of just having the money and stretching it out for long, long, long periods of time, that's really not something that is modeled in Scripture. Scripture has the idea of borrowing, but you pay those things off. At the longest, it would have been 7 years. So, you know, wait a minute, how does that work? Again, our society is different. We're living in a different economic times. We're not living under the Old Testament. Leviticus isn't our constitution, but we're supposed to still have those same kind of biblical principles that are guiding us. And I think one of the things that you take away from it is that when you borrow, whether it be for a house, whether it be for a car, whether it be for something else, the idea is that I'm going to get that thing paid off as quickly as I can. I'm not going to just, you know, make the payment and I don't have to think about it next month, until next month. The idea is that I'm going to get this thing and I'm going to try to eradicate it as quickly as I possibly can. Because God makes it very clear that the borrower is a slave to the lender. And so therefore, one of the obligations that I have, or one of the wise things, is to end that slave-master relationship as soon as I possibly can. And again, that is so countercultural to today, isn't it? Because what do? We want to stretch it out as far as we possibly can with the idea that, well, maybe I can just pile it on. My friend that had his 25-inch TV 30 years ago, I mean, in his mind, all he needed to do was make that monthly payment on that credit card. And at that time, I recognized he was basically making a car payment to MasterCard because he owed so much money. And it was like it was just constantly getting bigger. And as his salary grew, well, he could afford another 20 or 25 bucks a month. But his debt was continuing to grow. I don't think that's the way God's people are supposed to be. Again, we're God's people. We're not supposed to live the way the world lives. We are to live according to God's word and according to the wisdom of God's word. And God's word says that if you enter into a position where you borrowed, you become a steward to someone else as well as to God, you are going to eliminate that relationship by paying off that debt as soon as you possibly can. End it quickly. Yeah, I could take 30 years to pay that house off. But boy, if I can get it paid off in 21, let's do it. If I can get it paid off in 15, let's do it. I mean, yeah, they might give you a long period of time, but try to end it as early as you possibly can. Why? Because the borrower is slave to the lender. Two more that I want to bring out. You know, one of the main reasons we get into trouble on this whole debt thing, particularly the credit card thing, particularly the signature loans, particularly the car loans that just seem like they grow and grow and grow and grow, is because we really and truly haven't regulated our spending. We never really sat and said, here's what I have, and I ought to be living on less than that. And so that I've got that 10 or 15 or even 20% in my income that I'm not even really spending, because it could go into savings. It could go into something else. It could be there for needs or some kind of emergency, like we saw a few weeks ago. Our problem today is they say the average person is spending 105% of his income or her income. Now, I know that even right here and most people that are, in the older generations, most of them have kind of figured that out. So they're doing it. They kind of learned the hard way in their 20s and their 30s and their 40s. And so now that they're in their 50s and 60s, it's like, okay, I am living on 90% or 85% or 80%. And so if the average is 105%, that factors in those people that are living on the 80%. We had a flicker. That tells me that in reality, even though the average is 105%, there's a lot of people out there that are living on 115%. You follow my logic? And you can do it. You know, I've gotten into the habit where I just throw the credit card applications away, but you know, I could have done it. You could do it. I mean, we could take all those credit card applications and pile them up, and my goodness, I mean, in about 2 or 3 weeks, we would easily have the ability to borrow $100,000 if we took this credit card out and this credit card out and this credit card out. They'll lend it to you, and you can go max them out. And all of a sudden, you know, I may be making, you know, $50,000, but I could easily live on $60,000, and I could do that for years and years and years. And we think, hey, we're just staying ahead of the curve. But in reality, it's just a matter of time before it all catches up on us. And so whether you use a credit card, whether you don't use a credit card, the truth of the matter is one of the things that gets us all in trouble is we don't regulate our spending. We don't really take seriously that bottom principle there, that this is God's money. I mean, I might be at this restaurant and I could easily afford that meal, but is that really what God would want me to do? Would God really want me to buy that piece or that thing or that drink or this other thing? I mean, that's the kind of sober vigilance that God's people should have. Because it's not my money. It's not your money. I mean, I can be at the store and I could buy that article of clothing. I could, you know, it's like I told you a couple weeks ago about my seminary professor. I mean, 30 years ago, he was struggling about whether or not he and his wife with their 5 children should buy a microwave, because a microwave was viewed as a huge luxury. And then he said, truth of the matter is, we could afford a microwave every month. And this is back when microwaves were really high dollar items. But he said, I can't bring myself to think that God really wants us to do it. And so my wife and I, we've never taken the plunge to buy even a microwave. I mean, that's commendable. That's the kind of sober vigilance we ought to be thinking about. I mean, you can zip through a Starbucks, but does God, and I love Starbucks, okay, and I'm not against it. But I mean, does God really want you to spend $4 for a cup of coffee? Maybe, maybe not. Does God really want you to spend $78 for a blouse? Does God really want you to spend $110 for a set of jeans, a pair of jeans? You know? Does God really want you to spend $45,000 for a new, improved pickup truck? Does God really want you to do it? It's not a matter of can you afford it. I mean, by God's blessing, and because you guys are smart and you've all worked very hard, you can probably afford anything and everything you want. The question is, should you? Should we? I mean, we can afford it because God's blessing, because of our age, because of our salaries. Should we? And what we need to do as God's people, again, this only applies to us in this room, those of us that know Jesus Christ as personal Savior. We're God's people. We're supposed to live differently. We're not supposed to live like the nice guy who doesn't know Jesus. We are Jesus' people. We are God's people. And as God's people, we are to live differently. Does that mean we never have a credit card? Does that mean we never buy nice things? Does that mean we never take a splurge on this item or that item? No, absolutely not. I mean, Jesus Christ commended the woman who broke the perfume and poured it on his feet. That was extravagant. There's room for extravagance. God sometimes wants extravagance. The temple, my goodness, was layered with gold. What kind of building program would that have gone over today? But here's the deal. It's God's money. And as a steward, I'm to regulate my spending according to God. I don't look in my checkbook, I don't look at my credit card and say, I could afford that. I look at that item with God's wisdom and I say, yes or no. I regulate my spending. Because the truth of the matter is, too many of us have gotten in trouble because we can say, I can afford it. And so instead of spending 80% of our income, we're up to 90% of our income. And then it's a matter of 95% of our income. Then all of a sudden, we're at 100% of our income. And before we know it, we're at 107% of our income. And all of a sudden, we've got this huge credit card. We owe money on his car, her car. And my goodness, according to the bank, we still got 28 years to go on the house. I don't think that's the way God's people are supposed to live. I think God's people are supposed to manage the money that God has given to them, not the money managing us. Does that mean we never borrow? No. It means that we are just wise when it comes to it. You know what? Here's the biggest problem. The biggest problem is the lack of contentment. We don't regulate our spending because we're not content. We're looking for affirmation, for fulfillment from some outside external thing. And so we've got to eat this, wear this, drive this, live in this, and think that will make us feel better. And that is an expensive proposition. It is so much better to be content. What did Paul say to the Philippians? Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. I have learned to be content with a lot, with a little. And then later in the passage, he said, I've learned that my God will supply all of my needs according to his riches in Christ Jesus. Are you content? If you're not content, that is a heart issue. That's not a salary issue. That's not a money management issue per se. That is a heart issue. If you're buying or eating or acquiring or doing something to make you feel better, that's really, you've got something out of whack there. Because the truth of the matter is, God says, I will supply, and I am the one that is providing all of those things into your life, that self-esteem, that confidence, that inner conviction of being a child of God. I mean, I think one of the most powerful things on the face of the earth is a person who is a child of God who is really and truly living a countercultural life in all areas, particularly in the financial area. Because as I said at the beginning, money touches everything. And when we have become a slave to money, when our money is managing us, we become just like the world. We've lost that light and that salt that God wanted us to be. God wants us to manage that money, to be good stewards of that money. And it begins with recognizing our stewardship, but it is fueled by a content heart. Do you have a content heart today? Are you happy with what God has provided and you can say no to this and this and this and this? That's the goal. That's where we should be. When's the last time you said no to something that you could afford, but it's like, I don't need it. I'm not sure God wants me to have it. No. If it's been a while, that might be something you need to really think about. If it's constantly yes, if it's constantly whip out the card, if it's constantly sign on the dotted line, that might be indication that, hey, something's out of whack here and it needs to be fixed. Where's your heart? If your heart is not content with Jesus Christ and what he's providing so that you could say no, there might be some things that need to be addressed. Let's pray, okay? Father, I want to thank you for just the ability to fly through this material. And Lord, we've just hit the high points. But Lord, I pray that today you would help us to recognize just the spirit of your teaching. Just about this whole area of borrowing and lending. And Lord, we're living in a very complicated world. It's almost impossible to conduct business without it. But Lord, I pray that today you would help us to recognize that as your people, we need to live differently. We need to live in a way that is wise. And most of all, Father, we need to find our contentment not in things, but in a relationship with you. Father, I pray that you would give us that perspective today, and that we would be assured of your love and your direction in our life. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.